Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and we have a great guest. Backed by popular demand, my popular demand, but yours too, is The Power of When's author, Michael Bruce. The Power of When. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. It's when is the best time to eat lunch, ask for a raise, have sex, write a novel, go to the bathroom, take your meds, whatever you want to know, have a fight with your sweetie or husband or whatever you want to call him. And there's a perfect day in the life of every one of these. When's the best time? You can also find out what you are, which are the four classes. And obviously, one of them is a dolphin, which I love. I didn't know this. Dolphins, I often wondered how fish function, can swim all night long. It's that they are awake with half of their brain at all times, so they're only half of their brain is up. They're called unihemispheric sleepers. Lions are morning hunters. Bears, real bears, are go-with-the-flow ramblers. And wolves, nocturnal hunters. So, Michael, you told us you were a wolf last time. Is that right?
I am a wolf, indeed.
Well, I'm going to make you guess. Now, you know me only a little, and only so you may not guess correctly. But what did I? How did I score on the tests?
I think you're a lion.
That's exactly right. I scored as a lion on the test, but now on the shorter test, I was clearly a lion. On the longer test, I was on the margin at 33 between lion and bear.
Yep, and that would make sense as well. Remember, 50% of people are a bear. That's that kind of middle group that has a tendency to get up around 7 and go to bed around 10. And these are like the worker bees, if you will, of society, but they get a lot of stuff done. But lions are more, from a personality standpoint, more like you. And I can't remember what time you wake up, although I do know I've been at conferences with you, and you are up early hiking and working out and doing all of those good things for yourself. So that was why I guess that I thought you were a lion.
Yeah, no, we get up at 5 a.m. every day.
There you go. So there
problem, so I guess problem. My wife must be a lion, too. And that's one of the things we talked about last time, is the compatibility between husband and wife, and whether this made a difference. Now, there's science behind this. Talk to us about the science behind the type of person you are and having the chronobiology, or the ideal times to get up, to go to sleep, to have sex, to eat lunch. It's actually interesting to eat lunch. Go ahead. What's the science behind it?
So what's fascinating is these aren't just ideas that I kind of came up with or that have been in the research world for a while. This is actually based on genetics. It turns out that it's based on something called your PER3 gene. Okay. And so as an example, if you did something like a 23andMe or one of those genetic things, you could actually figure out exactly what you are. But it turns out if you have a long PER3 gene, then you need at least 7 hours of sleep to function, and you tend to be an early riser. If you have a short PER3 gene, then you can get by on light or little sleep, and you have a tendency to be more of a late riser. And so this is something that really wasn't taken into account by the previous ideas of early bird and night owl. And so I added that here, understanding your sleep drive. Right, because your body's want or need for sleep, remember, is different. 8 hours is a myth. You know, not everybody needs 8 hours. Some people need 6. Some people need 9. It really just depends upon you and, again, your genetics and also your bed partner. Right, and so the best part about this book, I think, is when somebody purchases it, they can then go take the quiz themselves, but also have their partner take the quiz. And once that happens, there's a new level of communication. And the funny thing is every single person that has emailed me, that has purchased the book and taken the quiz, say that they have everybody in the house take the quiz. And what's so fascinating is they say, now things make more sense. They say, because as an example, with my teenagers, I can't get them to hardly speak unless it's 10 o'clock at night. I pick my daughter up from the bus every day when I'm home, and I ask her, how was school? And she gives me these one-word answers. Fun. You know, did you make any new friends today? No. Who'd you sit with at lunch? Friends. You know, that kind of thing. Whereas if I walk into her room at 10:30 at night because she's a wolf, I ask the exact same questions. I could be there for an hour. So it's about communication. It's about understanding each other and understanding where our health is and where our genetics are to be able to, you know, lead more productive lives.
So, Michael, now, how did you happen to figure out it was the length of
of the gene itself?
Yes.
So it turns out that there's been a significant amount of research done over the last 15 years looking at chronotypes. If we actually encompass all of the different potential genetic markers, I think there's over 80 of them, but the PER3 gene is called the clock gene. And this is something that's been actually quite well studied in the scientific literature, and we find that people with short versus long PER3 genes need more or less sleep. And so I took that data, and I combined it with the chronobiology data, and I was able to make sense enough to be able to develop something like this.
Huh. So it is all of them. And the other thing that is so fascinating is on really early in the book, I think it's page 8 and 9, you give the some of the data that supports this, such as treating a disease such as cancer, there's a best time to treat it, which to me was fascinating because I never knew that, but there is a chronobiology of it.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So there's actually a chronobiology to almost every disease. There's a chronobiology to every organ system and the function of these organs. And cancer has been a hobby of mine in terms of learning more about it and trying to understand the research. And one of the things we know is that for example, we can give chemotherapy at very particular times in a 24-hour cycle, and we can use less chemotherapy and have a greater effect just by changing the time in which it is administered. Isn't that amazing?
It is. It really the difference, the outcome difference is striking.
Yeah, right? Great study out of the University of North Carolina School of Medicine, and they actually were looking at trying to determine the timing of medication affected the speed of DNA repair to damaged cells. And when they looked at them, they found that DNA repaired itself 7 times faster when they were giving medication at night than when they were giving medication during the day. I mean, think about that from an implication standpoint. And if we can give people less chemotherapy and have it be more effective, this is amazing stuff.
So is it better for the DNA, what I was curious about when I read that, which is it generally better for the DNA to be able to repair itself or not, depending on the treatment?
So it depends on the treatment, of course, but generally speaking, yes, we want the DNA to repair itself as quickly as we can.
Now, there is other data. What I kind of want to know when I read this, so why does eating, some people should eat a big meal in the morning and some people in the evening. How does that work? Let me tell you, so if you're gaining weight or not losing weight or whatever you're doing, this really changes the way you think about it to a large degree. That is, this book does. And so we want to let people know that so that they can figure out what the heck they're doing, because it is so remarkable, really.
Yeah. So there was a great study done in around 2013. I think it was in Spain. And what they did was they gave subjects a diet of 1,400 calories per day for 20 weeks, right? So for quite a while. And they were only given 1,400 calories per day. And some people were what they call early eaters, having their biggest meal of the day before 3 p.m. And other people were late eaters, having their biggest meal after 3 p.m. And the two groups ate the exact same quantities of the same food. They exercised similar intensity and frequency and slept the same number of hours. And the early eaters lost 22 pounds, and the late eaters lost 17 pounds, a 25% difference simply by eating earlier in the day. That's amazing.
It really is surprising. I mean, to me, it's amazing how important this is and how this is really a groundbreaking test and group. You can get the test at thepowerofwhen.com. But I took this in, and I was thinking, now, my wife and I are incredibly compatible with all that we do. Would you bet that she will be in the same category, or would she? Is it possible she's one category over? Or how does that work, really?
So it's interesting. So I have the same experience, and I'll tell you a little quick story. So when I met my wife, I would call her up and I would say, "Hey, Lauren, you know, what time do you want to go out tonight?" She'd say, "Oh, pick me up at 8:30." So I'd pick her up at 8:30, and we'd have dinner at 9, from 9 to 10. And then afterwards, we'd go to the movies from 10:30 to 12:30, and then we might go out for dessert afterwards. And everybody who knew us thought we were crazy because I was picking her up so late, and I was, and our dates were ending at, you know, 1:30 in the morning. But for us, it just felt right. And so it was great that we have the same chronotype. Do you have to have the same chronotype? No, you don't. Remember, 50% of people are in the middle, or what we call bears. So the likelihood of you as an early person, what I call a lion, finding another lion is not necessarily that easy to do. However, there are people within the bear population that like to get up earlier, a little bit like yourself. And so what I would say is you don't have to have the exact same chronotype, but it sure helps, and it's not bad to have roughly the same schedule, because that makes it a lot easier for both of you.
Yeah, no, we do have the same schedule. I mean, she gets up early, and she wants to go to sleep early, and if it wasn't for the fact that the Cavaliers are such a great basketball team, and the Indians
they
are so
indeed.
Much fun, and we had so much, we have so much fun staying up watching those games, often in person, like we will do, I don't know, 40 times a year or something, we would both go to bed much earlier. And one of my regrets is that the Daily Show is on so late that I have to watch it in replay.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Well, but see, that makes sense because you're a lion, right? And so, you know, when people are thinking about this concept of what am I, and you go to the powerofwhenquiz.com and learn what you are, then learning what your boss is could be actually very, very helpful. Now, you might not get your boss to take the quiz, as an example, but look at what time your boss comes into work. Are they the people that are there at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning? Then they're probably a lion. Do they come in right around 8:30, right before work? Then they're probably a bear. Are they struggling to get in, and do they miss morning meetings all the time? Well, then they might be a wolf. And if they're sending you emails at 3 o'clock in the morning, then they're probably a dolphin. So,
you know, but people choose the occupation based on this too, right?
Yes, they
words,
do. That's
an anesthesiologist and surgeons who all have to be there by, be ready to operate by 7 a.m. or give anesthesia by 7 a.m. We all must be, if you will,
lions.
Yeah. And radiation therapist or someone who, or radiologist who some who usually have a later schedule must be bears or
exactly. Exactly. And you know, I think
so
that there are
do people
careers.
Choose their, I mean, you don't have I didn't see an occupational test in here. did you have that in here and I miss it? But it is the power, when you even have when's the best time to tell a joke.
I do, as a matter of fact. So I have a whole section on work. I tell people when is the best time to ask for a raise. I tell people when is the best time to go on a job interview. To learn something new, present your ideas, even make a decision. Again, and this has a lot to do with the regularity of your hormones. And once you know what time your brain wants to wake up and go to bed, everything else falls into line. And once you, it's very simple, it's very straightforward. But once you understand this very simple fact, you will be shocked at learning exactly when you should do things. And it's fun. You know, people pick one thing and they say, I'm gonna look at this. Like, as an example, when to go to the bathroom, or when to take a pill, or when to weigh yourself, or even when to go for a run. And people try it once they learn their chronotype, and then they're hooked. Then they're off and running, and they try all kinds of fun and different stuff.
Michael Bruce, The Power of When is the book. Thepowerofwhen.com is where you can get the test. I'm taking the book home right now to give to my wife and find out where she scores. We'll be back. This is podcast 821, You, the Owner's Manual, the passionate show that helps you take control of your health and take control of your family's health so you can live at the top of your curve till very near the end. Michael Bruce, great interviews. Thanks very much for doing two of them. 8:19, 2 weeks ago. 8:21, it was such good information. We're going to have you back. I say that every time I get to interview you. And Kevin, thanks for great engineering. This is Podcast 8:21. Coming up on Podcast 8:22 next week, we have more good stories. But my favorite story, obviously, this week was the one, in addition to Michael Bruce, was the one on the fact that scientists say the clock of aging may be reversible. That's a different clock than we just talked about, but the clock of aging may be reversible. Come back and listen to us again and again. Thanks very much. And Kevin, thanks for great engineering. Michael Bruce for a great interview. We'll see you next week.